I'm going to tell a story about a trip to China I took in 2002. So the Chinese have a analogy that they use to describe people, foreigners who come to visit their country. And what they do is they liken them to birds. The first group they call the caged birds. And caged birds don't know any Chinese language, and they don't know a lot about the Chinese culture, and basically they're stuck in their hotel rooms or on their tour buses and can't go anywhere unless they have a guide. The second group are the chickens, and chickens can walk, but they can't fly. So the chickens know a little bit about Chinese language and culture and can get around the country a little bit, you know, but they still need a little bit of help. The final group are the eagles, and the eagles can fly, they can soar throughout China independently, they know lots about Chinese language and Chinese culture. So when we decided to go to China, my wife and I, we aspired to be chickens. And so when we went to the Great Wall of China, we didn't take the tour bus with everybody else and have to be stuck to a certain time period. We rented a car, we got a car to drive us out there, and we had a beautiful hike along the wall. When we went to restaurants, we tried some of the more unusual menu items, though we hesitated to try the snake or the dog or the rat hot pots that were also on the menu. Because we're chickens, we're not eagles, we're chickens. So, but I think the best example is our attempt to take a train in China. So we got to the train station in a town called Guilin, and we purchased our tickets and went into this enormous room, waited for our train. And this enormous room slowly filled up until it was completely full of people, all Chinese people. And we thought to ourselves, well, there must be more trains that are coming. They can't all be on our train. So all of a sudden, this bell rings, and on the far side of the room, a gate swings open, and then mayhem erupts as everybody is pushing towards to get through this one small gate on the far side of the room. People are jumping over the gates on the other sides to get so they could all get seats on the train. So we literally get pushed on through this gate onto the train. As soon as we get on the train, the door slams shut, and the train leaves 2 seconds later. So we felt that was, you know, approaching the eagle status, if nothing else. That train took us to a city called Nanning. And Nanning was actually our destination for our trip to China, because Nanning was where we were going to meet our daughter. So we went to our hotel and spoke to the person who was going to be the guide for us. And we're little caged birds at this point of our trip. That was okay. And we found out that we were to meet our daughter, her name is Vera, on Wednesday. So it's Monday, so we've got a couple of days to kill, and of course we're very nervous, we've never been parents before, but we got through Monday, and Tuesday arrived, and Tuesday night we're getting ready to go out to dinner, and all of a sudden the phone rings, and it's Vicky, who are our guide's name, and she says, "I think that maybe you meet your daughter tonight." We're like, what does that mean? Maybe we meet our daughter tonight. I'll call you back in 15 minutes. So we're sitting there freaking out. 15 minutes go by, and she calls back and says, "Yes, meet me downstairs right now." So we were going to pack our bags full of all sorts of fun things. We threw our video camera in there. We threw a bottle in there. We threw a toy or two in there, and we rushed downstairs. We jumped on a bus with some other families that were doing the same thing, drove across town and entered this building. And as we were entering the building, all we heard was crying. So we walked into this room, and it was a very official-looking room, and there is a Chinese official there. And she is saying something, which we can't understand because of the accent, and also because on the other side of the room, a group of women have brought in about 5 or 6 1-year-old girls. So we're on one side and they're on the other side, and in a very sort of official and almost bureaucratic way, this representative starts introducing the families to their children. So they call her name, they say, James and Naomi, Gongjiashi. So we met in the middle of the room, and this 1-year-old girl was handed to us. And we were so happy. We've never been so happy. But Vera was not happy at all. In fact, she kept looking back towards her caregivers with this sort of desperate look in her eyes, as if to say, "You're leaving me with them?" So eventually the women actually kind of walk out, and we've walked back to where we were standing, and all of a sudden these large silent tears just start popping out of the corner of her eyes and just rolling down her throat. She didn't rolling down her face, and she didn't cry at the beginning. She just sort of kept looking back to see where her caregivers were. So we got back on the bus, and that's when she started to cry. And it was a wail like I've never heard since. I've never heard her cry like that since. So she cried for the rest of the night and then ultimately just passed out. So if you can imagine what that must be like for to be in a place where you all of a sudden you've been given to people and everything is unfamiliar to you. Everything is different. You're with these people that look funny. They smell funny. They talk some sort of weird gibberish that you don't understand. And what happens with a lot of these girls is that they withdraw. They sort of go into shock. And some of them don't eat. Some of them cry. Some don't eat too much, as I said. And then the other thing that always happens is that they get constipated because of the stress. And that happened with Vera. She was very reserved, just wanted to observe what was going on, wanted us to hold her the whole time. Every time we put her on the ground, she cried. And that happened, that went on for a couple of days, about 3 days, where she was like that, and just very withdrawn, very listless. She held on to these two objects. She had a purple cat and orange cat and an orange cup. And they were like these security objects for her. So a couple of days pass, and we start seeing these little glimmers of her personality. 3 days pass, it's Friday. And it was a rough 3 days for all of us. But Friday comes, and Friday was her big day, her coming out day. And the first thing that we noticed was we were lying with her on the ground. She had some sort of speck of looked like metal on her face from a dress that she was wearing. And I just blew into her face, like, just to get it off. And she smiled, and that was the first smile that we had seen from her in all that time. Later that day, I put her on the ground, and I stood her, and she had never done this before. My wife was sitting across the room, and she walked across the room. We didn't know she could walk. It was the first time for 3 days she had walked. She started playing with toys, and she played with this toy, and after she finished it, she crawled over to me, and I picked her up, and I smelled this kind of nasty odor coming from her bottom. My wife and I actually got into an argument about who was going to change her, and my wife changed her. And we were in China for another week, and that week we just saw so many changes in her. By the end of that second week in China, she was running around and she was laughing and she was playing with us and playing with all sorts of toys, and she just had the most beautiful smile on her face all the time. So we were flying back across the Pacific, back to where we were living at the time, which was in Seattle, and it just occurred to me at that time that we had left 2 or 3 weeks earlier, and we were just a couple. Two travelers were traveling across to Asia, and here we were. We were returning as a family, and this little girl had already completely changed our lives. Now, while we are always going to be chickens in her country, we had every hope that she was going to be an eagle in her new one. So thank you.